This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Going to create a lot of messes when you don't do it God's way. And that leads us to our final point. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. They're worried about everybody following him now. They're losing their crowd. They're losing their peeps. So the final thing we want to consider is that following is more critical than observation. These are things we need to know and understand. Following is more critical than simply observing.
Following is more important than observing. What you observe God do might not make any sense. It might be painful. It might be confusing. But if he calls you to do something, the important thing is that you do it no matter who sees or who might be offended or who disapproves. Pastor Troy is going to remind you today that at the end of the day, what matters is your obedience to Christ. Did you spend time with him? Did you hear him speak? And did you obey if he called you to action? Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 12 as he continues his message, Know and Understand.
Scripture's more reliable than opinion. The people were constantly divided about Jesus, weren't they? I mean, they're always, who is he? Who is this guy? Jesus even walking in Caesarea Philippi is walking with his disciples, and he asks, who do men say that I am? And you know, well, some say the prophet, some say this, some say that. And then he finally points and says, who do you say that I am? This is an important question. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? So the people were divided. For some, he was a prophet. For some, he was not even from God. He's not from God. Others said, I don't know where he's from, but he's definitely from God. Others said, he's a sinner. He hangs with sinners. He is a sinner. And then others said, he's demon-possessed and crazy. So there are all sorts of ideas about Jesus, but they were all the opinions expressed by their own feelings, maybe their own biases about who Jesus was. The man who was blind received his sight. He said, where do you say he's from? He didn't say, well, the scripture says. He said, I don't know where he's from. All I know is he healed me. That's from God. So they're basing all of these things on their own experiences and their own ideas and their own opinions. Those who didn't like him weren't really changed much. However, what's interesting is twice in our paragraph, John quotes scripture that verifies or highlights, points to who Jesus is that they should have known. Verse 13 says, they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a quote out of Psalm 118, a prophecy about when the Messiah should come and enter. Verse 14, John says, as it is written, there's scripture. What was written? Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming sitting on a donkey's colt. Another piece of scripture answered right here to say this is the Messiah, the Christ, come down from heaven. In fact, in Luke's gospel, Luke points out something Jesus says during this event because they should have known this day. It was based upon the Old Testament scriptures. In Luke chapter 19, verse 42, Jesus says, if you had known, even you, especially this in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Now, when it says they're hidden from your eyes, this isn't a, but now God doesn't want you to know. The hiding from the eyes speaks of a hardening of the heart that happened, and as a consequence of any hardening of our hearts is a blindness. You should have known, but you didn't. You guys are hardened and stiff-necked, and it's hidden from your eyes. You can't even see what's right in front of you. You're blinded. He expected them to know this date. He goes on to predict the fall of Jerusalem as a consequence of what they should have known. Look at verse 19, Luke 19, verse 43. He goes on, "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another." Here's why. "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." You should have known. Why? Because they had the scriptures. Gentiles wouldn't have known. They didn't have the prophets or the prophecies, but they did. Now, what's Jesus referring to? "You should have known." How would they have known? He's referring to what they should have known according to one of their prophets, Daniel, a well-beloved prophet. When the Messiah would come, and Jesus is holding them accountable for knowing that, the time of their visitation. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, we read, "70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand," there's our title today, "know and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince," until he shows up, the Messiah, "there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 and 62, that's 69. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war desolations are determined." So these periods of weeks, a period of time that we often use are decades. We work in tens. But the Jews work in sevens. Every seventh year was a Sabbath year. So it starts again, then the next year, periods of sevens. And so the words used here are for seven sevens, or shavim shavuim, seven periods of seven, which refer to seven cycles of this seven, seven periods of 7 years. There was a man, well, first, before we get to Sir Robert Anderson and what he wrote. So first they need a command, right? We need a starting point if we're going to calculate to a date. So the question then is, was there ever a command recorded? Was a command ever recorded that they could actually start from? Yes. History records the command was given by Artaxerxes Longimanus. And it was on March 14th, 445 BC. Sir Robert Anderson did some math for us. He was a brilliant mind and investigator. And he wrote a book called The Coming Prince. He was a Christian. He was kind enough to do the math for us. And said the 77s, representing 70 periods of 7 years, or actually 69, because that 70th, it was the 7 and 62. So 69 of them before the prince comes and is cut off. But not for himself. We know who it's for. It's for the world. Well, if you multiply that, you get 483 years, or you get 173,880 days. And so he went on to calculate those days, count those days up, and he came to the date of April 6th, 32 AD. 173,880 days later, April 6th, 32 AD. Coincidentally, April 6, 32 AD, falls on the Jewish calendar of the 10th of Nisan. Something happened on the 10th of Nisan on the Jewish calendar. Every year it happened. And that is, the lamb that was to be slain for the family was selected, picked on that day. You picked your lamb on that day. No blemishes, no nothing. You had to pick him on that day. And guess what happened that day in history? That's the day that Jesus rides in and he is selected. Publicly acknowledged. Save now. Hosanna. Every other time he said, don't tell him who I am. Don't tell him who did this. But on this day he said, hey, today is not the day to be quiet. The Lamb is being selected. And he became the Lamb of God who who took away the sins of the world. Year after year, it changed nothing but this lamb. Well, when he died, everything would change. In verse 16, John confesses that even they, the disciples, didn't get all of this at the time. That's what he's saying. He's like, we didn't even know until after he was glorified. Then we started putting it all together and went, whoa. Well, he's answering scripture. Man, this is crazy. I love about Jesus that everything he did, you'll see that they say, and the scripture came alive, and he fulfilled the scriptures. Like the Bible came alive when Jesus was around. Their scriptures came alive. I wish that could be said of us more often, that the Bible comes to life when we're around. Well, I've seen love in action. There have been those occasions. I wish there were more of them, but there have been those occasions where you do a kind act, or I treat someone and you forgive them and you go, you know that scripture in the Bible that talks about forgiving or sin or whatever? I've never seen it lived out, and now I get it. That's the way we ought to live our lives. People go, I see in you the scripture. I get it. It's not easy, but it's our calling. We're called to live for the glory of God. So they confess, we didn't even see all of this. We didn't even get all of this. And it's like John is reflecting, going, whoa, a deliverer as prophesied by the scriptures. A donkey as prophesied by the scriptures. The day as prophesied by the scriptures. Wow, he fulfilled the scriptures. The scriptures declared and acknowledged him. We didn't need feelings. I think my feeling, my thing is what my thoughts are. We didn't need that. The scriptures said. Here's the point. Guys, the more you read the scriptures, the more you realize how accurate and reliable they are. The more you read them. And it's like the more you're able to not only hear his voice, but discern it more clearly amongst all of the other voices going on in our heads. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account.
There's so much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope to see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
It's not like when you open the Bible and you read something that convicts you and, oh, let me close it before God knows that about me. God knew that before you ever opened the scriptures. This is stuff you need to know. The conviction is a good thing. Because see, if you don't know and understand some of this, it can be harmful. Don't close the scriptures because you're afraid of accountability. You're already accountable. Did you know that? You're already accountable. You run a stop sign out there, and even though you didn't see it, you're going to get a ticket. You ran a stop sign. I didn't know. And really, I really didn't know. But you're going to get a ticket. Well, guys, we can't play dumb in the end. We cannot do it. God has sent his son. He said, and even if you could say, well, I didn't live then, he said the heavens declare the glory of God. It's going to lead us to something. There's something greater. What is that? We're going to be on this pursuit. There's a vacuum that draws us toward what is true, unless in our own will we decide we don't want what's true and we resist. So the word of God, it predicts, tells us the future. It also pinpoints, it pierces the heart with great precision and accuracy, by the way. So when someone says to you, trying to give you the counsel, well, my thoughts are, my thing is, well, what we do, or in my experience, all of these can be helpful. However, I think we need to learn to find biblical substance, a biblical foundation for the experience or the thought or the thing. We need to learn, as Christians especially, to make sure there's a biblical precedent or foundation. Until someone's opinion is more accurate or reliable than the Bible, we need to continue to turn to the Bible and let the Bible be the foundation, because Scripture is more reliable than opinion. I mean, think about it. Someone could say, and I've heard people say before, well, in my experience, I lived with a girlfriend before, and it was great. We learned a lot about each other, and we did everything the Bible said we shouldn't do, and there was no harm done. We even ended up married later. So that makes you go, well, maybe the Bible's not right. Maybe the Bible, look at that. Look at that exception to the rule. Maybe it's not such an exception. Maybe there's some hurts. Maybe there's some things that they don't realize. Maybe they're hurt or someone else is hurt and they don't realize it. Sometimes we go through life oblivious. We're a carrier of sin and we don't realize that we're affecting everybody else by what we're doing. We think we're okay in what we're doing. An example is trust in a relationship. Did you know that trust in a relationship going into a marriage is greater whenever you abstain from any physical activity beforehand? Because especially for the woman, that woman goes, I know this man values marriage because he said, I'm going to wait until marriage. So he values marriage so I can have confidence that whatever's outside of marriage, I can have full confidence in. However, when the same couple does things before marriage, there is a trust that is broken down a little bit. Sometimes there's even jealousies and things that arise because, well, if he would do it then because I was cute or we loved each other or whatever, then he would do it with someone else that way also. Marriage is not his boundary. It's his feelings. And man, if I'm not around him, if I don't call him all the time, maybe he'll forget how he feels about me and he'll feel that way about someone else. And so guys, no matter what, when we don't do things God's way, harm comes, harm enters, things happen. We need to do everything God's way. Yeah, you may survive doing it your way, but you're going to create a lot of messes when you don't do it God's way. And that leads us to our final point, verse 17. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. They're worried about everybody following him now. They're losing their crowd. They're losing their peeps. So the final thing we want to consider is that following is more critical than observation. These are things we need to know and understand. Following is more critical than simply observing. There are four groups observing this event right here. The disciples in verse 16. Other eyewitnesses that had seen Lazarus' resurrection in verse 17. Those who heard from the eyewitnesses, they didn't see it for themselves, but they heard from the eyewitnesses about Lazarus' resurrection, verse 18, and the Pharisees and religious leaders in verse 19. So four different groups. Back in chapter 11, verse 48, the religious leaders had had a meeting, and they said, you know, if we let this guy keep doing this stuff, I mean, he's raising people up. This is hard to compete with. If we keep letting this guy go, everyone's going to be following him. And now they're saying, look, everyone's following him. We were right. We need to get rid of him. And so this is only going to catapult them into that place of where they really want to get rid of him, kill him. Now, what wasn't true in their statement is the people weren't really following him. The people had observed him and the people were excited about him, but that doesn't mean they were following him. They observed him. They were emotional. They were excited, but they weren't following him. How do we know? Well, because they're going to turn their backs on him when they realize where he's going. He's going to the cross. He's dying. He's not fixing things. I'm not following him. He's not doing what I wanted him to do, what we thought was important. They didn't know what he came for. They were observing him and excited in the moment, but by the end of it, they're going to be turning their backs, and we're going to find the only group that really believed or trusted in him were those that followed him and had been following him, the disciples. You know, it's great to make observations, to study the scriptures, to observe, you know, observe, interpret, apply, you know, the scriptures. It's great to make observations in them and to see things and highlight. But if observations don't lead us to conclusions, which lead us to actions, then those observations don't really do anything for us, right? They just give us head knowledge. So have you ever known someone who every time you try, you see problems in their life, so you try to casually take an approach and share the scriptures with them about, you know, some things that they may need to deal with, but it's like, yeah, I already know, and then they start spitting out scriptures, all the scriptures. They got this head knowledge, but it's not fixing anything. It's up here, but it hasn't translated, it hasn't transferred. See, observation should lead us to conclusions that change our actions. In our text here, we had a deliverer, according to the scriptures, a donkey, according to the scriptures, a day, according to the scriptures. And that should have led to a decision for them about Jesus, but they didn't know. They didn't put it together. There are a lot of people who study the Bible, the scriptures. They underline. They love it. They get emotional when they read it. And they even take notes and use their favorite color to highlight their favorite verses. But if it doesn't lead to applying those truths, it doesn't do anything. You're not a follower. You're an observer. See, that's what it means to follow Jesus and be his disciple. Jesus said, if you don't pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow after me, you cannot be my disciple. Because the only way to be his disciple is to follow him. And so we listen. It means putting his word to action in our own life. Warren Wiersbe said this in his book, Looking Up When Life Gets You Down. The mind grows by taking in, but the heart grows by giving out. It's like we learn to identify with Christ. We understand more when we do. We get the concept, the philosophy, the idea, the 2+2, but we don't get it here unless we live it, apply it. And it's in doing that that we grow. In other words, the mind grows by taking in, making us an observer, but the heart grows by giving out, making us a disciple, a doer. So, it's important that we know and understand these things. It could be a heavy message, but guess what? Jesus is going to the cross, guys, in our story, in where we're at in history. He's going to die. This is very significant. So we need to know these things. Jesus is more helpful than religion. We need a relationship with him, a personal relationship, so that he can lead us and guide us, be with us, be everything that we need when no one else understands or no one else is there. Scripture is more reliable than opinion. We have got to learn that if we learn nothing else today. We got to stop listening to the, well, my thing is, my experience and what I think is, we got to stop that and we got to start learning, practicing ourselves instead of just taking the sword. I got the sword of the Spirit. Let me just carve up something instead of taking it in context. You know, the world, they use stuff out of context all the time, but that's the world. We shouldn't. We need to know the scriptures. He's given them to us. And when we share, we need to share the scripture that supports the idea or the experience we're sharing. So they have something of substance. We need to learn to do that and make a habit of it. And then following is more critical than observing. James said, be doers and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. It could be, guys, that we don't need a miracle today. Maybe we do. Maybe God's going to need to do some miracles in our life. But most of the time, I think we don't need a miracle. What we need is to know and apply God's word to our life. A deliverer, a donkey, a day, all these should have led to a decision, an obvious decision. There can be no other. But for us today, as we read the scriptures, the Lord takes the sword out and pierces the heart lovingly. Has he spoken to your heart about following him? Have you made a decision to follow him? Because maybe this is the day he calls out your name and gives you that choice.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Book of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.